Okay, it's from Mark in chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Again he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And he sowed some seed. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path. And the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. The ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold.
O Lord, so we're looking together at Mark chapter 4. Are you listening? Today's verses from Mark's Gospel are all about listening. In fact, today, you're listening to me teaching about Jesus teaching about listening. It's a sort of inception levels. Today's sermon falls into two parts. You know, sometimes listening is the most important thing in all the world when you're listening to life-saving instructions. And we all know that it's possible to listen without really listening. You know how it is, people are nodding but their eyes have glazed and you know they're somewhere else. So today's sermon falls into two parts. The main part, I want to ask you what sort of a listener You are. And then I want to close by giving you some good news. But before we do either, let me just remind you where we are in Mark's Gospel and what we've seen so far. That should help you if you're visiting for the first time or if you've missed the last few weeks. This is where we've got to in Mark's Gospel. Remember, our goal in reading Mark's Gospel is to encounter Jesus, the Jesus of history, the Jesus of faith. In his first section, Mark describes Jesus as king, as Messiah, and he describes the inbreaking of God's kingdom in Jesus' words and actions. Then in his second section, Mark describes the official reaction to Jesus. We saw the questions and the criticisms of the religious leaders leading up to their plot to destroy Jesus. In chapter 3 and verse 6, one way or another, they're going to take him out, they're going to bring him down. And then last time we looked at Mark chapter 3, or rather Mark's third section, covering most of chapter 3. This was a snapshot of the different responses to Jesus. There were his fans, the disciples, as it were, the great crowds that came to listen. There were his followers, the disciples, there were his family, and his foes. The crowds were curious, his enemies were slanderous, his family thought that he was mad, but his followers gathered round him to listen. And Jesus saw those people as his real family. And that brings us to section 4 in Mark's Gospel, and this is a section of kingdom stories. The section starts in verse 1 of the chapter. Again, Jesus began to teach beside the sea. A very large crowd gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land, and he was teaching them many things in parables. That's where the section starts. And then the end of this section is verse 34. Jesus did not speak to them without a parable. So verse 33, with many such parables he spoke the word to them. As they were able to hear it, he did not speak to them without a parable. Privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. It's a reminder that the chapter breaks aren't always in exactly the right place. They were added later. Really, this is the end of the section. And the next section in Mark's Gospel starts in verse 35. So here is Jesus teaching his disciples, the huge crowds that are still gathering. But here's the clever thing. Even as Jesus is teaching the crowd, he's explaining the different responses that the crowd will make to his teaching. And so the crowd are listening to his teaching, but also the crowd are part of his teaching. They are part of the story. And even as we are listening to Jesus teach, we find that we are in the story, that we're part of the story. There's a number of fiction stories like that. This is fact, but there's a book called The Neverending Story. A boy who hides in an upstairs room in a school reading a book, and then suddenly he finds himself as part of the story. And Jesus told his famous parable of the lost son, the prodigal son, and his older brother. Once again, the listeners were part of the story, whether they knew it or not. And so it is here. Even as Jesus teaches, he's explaining the different responses that the crowd are going to make to his teaching. And he's describing what will happen in the end. All of the people are listening, but what sort of listeners are they? What sort of listeners are they? What will come of all this teaching? And that's where we come in. Just as the listeners in Jesus' day were described in the teaching, the same is true of us. Each of us today is described in the story that Jesus told of a farmer sowing seed. Now, today's farming methods are very different from Jesus' day. We have combine harvesters, don't we? It's all automated. It's certainly in Western countries. But I don't think we find the picture that Jesus paints very difficult to understand. It's not a hard thing to understand. Here is the farmer with his bag of seed. The field has all been ploughed up, broken up, ready to receive the field. And out goes the farmer, scattering his seed to fall into that ground, hoping that the seed will take root and the shoots will grow up and there will be a good crop when it comes to harvest time. You can understand that picture. The seed in Jesus' story is the good news of God's kingdom. It's the good news of what Jesus was doing in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 14, the sower sows the word. It's the word, it's the great promise, it's the invitation to turn from your own way of doing things, to turn from your rebellion against God, and to receive his forgiveness, and to receive his welcome, and to join his family, to follow Jesus as Saviour and as Lord. It's the word that goes out, the message that goes out from Highbury Baptist Church and other churches like it, week after week. Sower sows the word. And all of you are the soil that receives the word. The passers-by getting the restaurant invitations, that's you. All of you are listeners, but what sort of listener are you? That's our big question for this morning. And to help you answer that, I want to ask five other questions. Question number one, are you being robbed? Are you being robbed? What happened to the first sort of seed? It's there in verse 4. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Verse 15, these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. Are you being robbed? The seed never had chance to sink into the soil. There it is, it's fallen on the hard path that's been trodden down, and the birds have stolen it away. Are you that sort of listener? Even as I'm talking, your mind is somewhere else. It's in last week, or it's in next week. It's in what you watched or what you're planning to do. You're dozing off. And when you get home, you won't be able to remember a word I said. And one person here this morning will be delighted. The devil. The evil one. Did you know you have an enemy who is desperate to stop you hearing what I'm saying to you this morning? He's glad to snatch away the message before it's even taken root. I was travelling on the underground yesterday, and you know, you hear it over the tannoy, pickpockets are operating in this station, or maybe you see signs at a fair or festival, you know, thieves operate in this area. Maybe we should have a sign like that on the door. It says upper hall, but maybe we should have a sign on it that says, thieves operate in this area. I don't mean you, I don't mean you have to watch your bag. What I mean is the devil is there to get the seed, to not your pockets, but your mind, not petty thieves, but evil forces. Anything to stop you hearing and understanding the gospel. Are you being robbed? God's word will do you absolutely no good if it doesn't go in. Question number two, are you really convinced? Are you really convinced? So Jesus describes the second sort of seed in verse 5. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up since it had no depth of soil. When the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. And then he explains it for us in verse 16. These are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. There's a lot of enthusiasm for Jesus' message at first. Huge crowds gathered. But it didn't last. Not when it became clear what Jesus was really saying, what he was really calling for. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. God is doing something great in our land. People love to hear that, but what does it mean to repent? It means a complete change of mind. It means a completely new way of thinking about things, a complete reordering of your life so that God is at the center and everything revolves around him. It means believing what God says when that makes you the butt of jokes in school or in the office. It means when you're called a hater or a bigot because you won't endorse society's agenda. You know, many people are initially enthused when they hear the Christian messages. Sometimes they seem so promising. They're the most enthusiastic. They're the most positive. I want to get involved. Count me in. Like Andrew says, that the visitors who leave saying, "I'll see you next week," the more enthusiastic they are, the less likely they are to come. Many people are initially enthused when they hear the Christian message, but it doesn't last because the word hasn't gone deep. There hasn't been the radical change of thinking that comes with true conversion to Jesus Christ. Are you that sort of listener? Are you really convinced? It's not enough to receive the good news with joy. Have you understood the cost? What sort of a listener are you? And then question number three, are you being distracted? You might think it's not going well for this farmer, is it? What about the next sort of seed there in verse 7? Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Others are the ones sown among thorns, verse 18. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Once again, things looked so promising. This time the seed has fallen into deep soil. It's taken root. It's growing up. But other things are growing up too. Weeds, thorns. How many listeners are like this? They get it, but in the end, there just isn't room in their lives for the seed to bear fruit. The things of the world are too important. Maybe it's wanting to get on. Maybe they take a promotion in a different place and that's the end of church attendance. There's just nowhere nearby. Sunday work in Trump's services. Maybe family. His family just grows and swamps church life. Maybe all sorts of things. Whatever it is, something is more important than truly getting right with God and living well for him. They're full of good intentions, but it never comes to anything. There are too many other calls on their time and on their life and on their priorities. And so the word is choked. You say, surely that's better than seed on the path. Well, at least it's growing up, but at least it's made it into the soil right. Ask the farmer. Ask the farmer. The crop is what matters. These seeds prove just as unfruitful as the seeds that were eaten. We're not all on a journey at different points. Rather, we're all on a platform. And the train is going to leave, and when it does, we will either be on it or not. What sort of listener are you? Are you being distracted? Are other things more important than God's word, more important than prayer, more important than church, more important than Jesus in the end? Is there fruit? That's our big question, our fourth question. Are you bearing fruit? That's the fourth seed, isn't it? Verse 8, other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 30 times, 60 times, even 100 times. The most basic fruit is ongoing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You hear the word, you accept it, all of it, what it says about you, what it says about your sin, what it says about your need for forgiveness, what it says about who Jesus is, who God is. You hear it, you accept it, and you trust. You put your faith in him, your confidence in him, you cry out to him and say, "I've sinned against you, but I need you to change me, I need you to make me different, I need you to forgive me." That's fruit. It's keeping going, it's following Jesus, it's listening to him. It's holding on to his words through thick and thin. It's choosing his things rather than giving up on him when the going gets tough or when other things beckon. It's not being a hobby Christian, but being a real Christian. And that will show itself in a changing life. Are you bearing fruit? It will show itself in a desire for the word to go out. You'll be praying about that and looking for chances for the message to spread. And some of us are outgoing and we can talk to anyone. Others are nervous and we'll find it easier to talk to people that we know well, maybe just to give out a book or an invitation. Some may be so nervous, but they'll be, because they want the word to go out, they'll be praying about it. And they'll be wanting to encourage others who are maybe more, in a sense, better at sharing, but they'll care about it. It's going to be different for different people, different amounts of fruit. Some people will have weak faith and patchy following, but you love Jesus and you want to follow and you wish you were more for him. You really care. Different amounts, different sorts, according to our gifts and our situations and our opportunities. But being a follower of Jesus will mean something. It will mean something more than just being here and listening on a Sunday. We're all listeners, but what sort of listener are you? Are you bearing fruit? One final question. Are you asking questions? Sermon about listening to sermons and a question about, are you asking questions? Do you want to understand more? You know, the striking thing in these verses is that no one understood Jesus. We know that from verses 10 to 13. In verse 11, Jesus describes the crowds. He says, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive. They may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." The crowd didn't understand. Otherwise, they would have turned. They would have turned from their sins. They would have turned to Jesus to receive forgiveness, to follow him. But the disciples didn't understand either. Verse 10, when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. Verse 13, and he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" That's the irony. If they don't understand a message about understanding the message, how will they manage with everything else? And yet, there was a difference, wasn't there? There was a difference between the crowds and the followers. Some people were hungry enough to stick around and ask questions. They knew that they didn't get it, and they wanted to get it. And so they came to Jesus with their confusion. And that made all the difference. They might not understand yet, but Jesus was more than happy to teach them more. He did not speak to them without a parable, the crowds, but privately to his own disciples. He explained everything. And it wasn't as if Jesus sent people away and said, "Okay, this is now for the 12. We see that it was the people who hung around who wanted to learn more. Are you asking questions? You see, Jesus' parables weren't simply to make things easier to understand. Some people think that. But that's not the case. Jesus' parables were rather like a test. Not to see if you understood, but to see if you cared enough to want to understand. Jesus' parables were like an orange. Do you know, I wonder how you, sometimes you think, do I want an orange? Oh, it's got a faff of, you know, I've got to peel it and sort of, or even like a pineapple. It's even worse, isn't it? You look at it and you say, I can't be bothered. Jesus' parables were like that, in as much as that if you're bothered enough to work out how to get through the peel and taste the fruit, it's worth it. Most of the crowd saw the miracles and they heard the teaching and then they went their way. Maybe the seed was snatched away, maybe it hadn't gone deep, maybe the pull of other things was already choking the word. But some stayed to ask. And so the parables amplified a distinction that was already there. There were already two groups of people. And what the parables did was sort of magnify that. It wasn't just to help people to understand, it was to blind the people who were not interested, and to enlighten the people who were. What sort of a listener are you? Are you asking questions? Are you seeking the answers from Jesus? I don't say, do you understand it all? Maybe stuff you don't understand. But are you praying about it? Are you pondering his word? Or is this the last time you'll think about gospel things until this time next week? What sort of a listener are you? That's the question I've been asking you this morning. Or rather, that Jesus has been asking you. But I want to close this morning with some good news. Now, it may not be good news for you. That depends on what sort of a listener you prove to be. But it's great news for everyone who's following the Lord Jesus Christ, everyone who cares deeply about God's kingdom. Here's the good news. Despite all setbacks, despite all discouragements and disappointments, God's word will bear abundant kingdom fruit. This section, this chapter, this section in Mark's gospel is all about listening. It's the very first thing that Jesus says, isn't it? Verse 2, in his teaching, he said to them, listen. All about listening. It's the way he ends his first teaching session, verse 9. He said, he who has ears to hear. Has everyone got ears here this morning? I can see ears. Everyone's got ears. Are you using them? He who has ears to hear, says Jesus, let him hear. Jesus talks about the word 8 times. He uses the verb to hear 9 times. It's all about listening. But it's not just about listening. I went walking out with some minister friends of mine, friends who are leaders in churches, back early in the week on Wednesday, and I said, I'm preaching from Mark chapter 4. How would you apply it? What would you say? One of them said, it's all about listening. And the other one said, it's all about what happens in the end. And they were both right. What sort of a listener are you? But this is, it's good. It's not just about listening. It's about what's going to happen. Despite all setbacks and all disappointments, God's word will bear abundant kingdom fruit. Despite all of the, you know, for the farmer, despite all of the seeds on the path, despite the birds, despite the rocky ground, despite the sun scorching and the sort of dead ferns, despite the weeds, despite the thorns, you get to that point and you think, is he going to have anything to eat? But no, some falls in the good soil. And even though maybe some of it falls in the good soil, enough falls in the good soil that there's a huge harvest, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And that's a great encouragement. Think about the start of these verses. A very large crowd gathered about Jesus, so large that in a sense he can't be heard unless he gets into a boat, sits in it on the sea, the whole crowd beside the sea on the land, there, sort of a natural harbour, and they can hear his voice. Great crowd. Where was that crowd by the end of the gospel? Judas had betrayed Jesus. His disciples had deserted him. Seemed like everything had come to nothing. All that's left is a frightened band of disciples huddled in a locked room, wondering who will be next. Because Jesus had been crucified. The seed had fallen into the ground and died. But that's what had to happen. The seed didn't stay dead. A shoot came forth. Jesus rose again, the first fruits of a great harvest. And the seed that he had sowed in his teaching bore fruit too. The disciples were transformed by their encounter with the risen Jesus. The message started to spread. Thousands were brought into the church, into the kingdom. Those disciples who didn't get it yet and came to ask questions, they would be the ones whose testimony turned the world upside down. Why? Because they'd been given the secret of the kingdom. The secret is Jesus himself. It's knowing who Jesus is. It's knowing why he came, and then it's coming to him in repentance and faith, submitting to him. He's listening to him above all other voices, whether voices outside yourself or voices within. It's listening to him. Despite all setbacks and all disappointments, God's word will bear abundant kingdom fruit. You know, that's a tremendous encouragement for a preacher like me. How many sermons have I preached at Highbury since I came in August, September 2020? About 80. And another 80 prayer meeting Bible studies, 20 or so Lord's Supper talks. Will it do any good? It's easy for a preacher to wonder. That's a lot of sermons. That's a lot of preparation. That's a lot of messages. Will it do any good? But despite all setbacks and all disappointments, God's word will bear abundant fruit. And that should be a great encouragement to all of us who grieve over the state of our land in terms of the gospel. Churches are dwindling. What can we do against the combined might of the media, the surrounding apathy or hostility? What will all this Bible stuff come to in the end, this Christian message? The answer is, despite all setbacks and disappointments, God's word will bear abundant kingdom fruit. God won't have just a few stalks to bring into his barn in the end. It's the great message of the parable of the sower. God's word will not return to him empty. So these words to us this morning, these words set our expectations. They set our short-term expectations that some people will hear the word, but it'll go in one ear and out the other. Sinister forces are determined to see that happens. And sometimes people will seem so promising and will be so hopeful and so thrilled, but we'll need to wait and see. Better a slow, steady work than a great noise and flurry that turns out to be shallow and temporary. It happens, and it's so sad. But we mustn't be surprised. And with some people, the word will be choked. Their career, their hobby, their family, their ambitions, their worries. They just won't be here. That can be so discouraging, but forewarned is forearmed. This morning sets our expectations. It sets our expectations in the short term, but it sets our expectations in the long term, that there will be a harvest, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Despite all setbacks and all disappointments, God's word will bear abundant kingdom fruit. We don't need to worry about the ultimate state of God's kingdom. Jesus will build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The great banqueting hall will be full. But that will be no comfort at all if you're left outside. Have you been listening this morning? Are you listening? And what will you do about it? The great need is to turn and be forgiven, to come to Jesus on his terms, to trust him as Saviour, to submit to him as Lord. At the very least, if you don't understand, get alone with God and plead with him, to talk to him. You know, we can talk to God. You just find a quiet place where no one's there. Well, I talk to him as I walk around and people think I've got earpods in. And it's great, AirPods. You know, just you walk. You can talk to God and plead with him to open your eyes and to make things clear. Make sure you've really got it. What it means, what it costs, and then determine to follow with God's help, come what may. Don't just let the word wash over you. Don't just listen and do nothing. To listen and do nothing is a choice. Every time you listen and do nothing, it becomes harder to hear next time. There's no standing still spiritually. So hear and heed. As Jesus says, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Amen. Amen. Let's close with a song together, a song which sets our expectations.